You're about to meet the man who's helping companies hire people with disabilities and proving to everybody that it can be a financial win and it's just the right thing to do. We have Tom Gustafson on today's episode of Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan, along with the co-founders, the co-CEOs of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Mike Gesser and Isaac Shapiro. What's up, fellas?
How you doing, Evan?
What's up, Evan?
I love these episodes where we bring on champions in our world, people who help, because look, it takes really special people to help advance our cause of helping people with disabilities get employment, because it's something that, you know, we can't do on our own. You need strong people who help push the movement forward. And our guest today is one of those people, a strong champion who has been a real force in this. We're bringing on the Vice President of HR for Dollar Tree Supply Chain Organization. Tom Gustafson joins us today. Tom, how are you, man?
Good, guys. How are you?
Good. Great. How are you doing, Tom? Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Tommy.
Before we really get into it, you know, I love hearing the background story of kind of how this became a passion for you, how you got involved in really becoming a champion for, you know, in this world and helping champion people with disabilities and helping them get into increase employment levels for them. So what's the story? What's the connection for you?
Yeah, well, first, my background, I've worked in large box retailers my whole career. So I worked at companies like Best Buy, Gap, which is Old Navy, Banana Republic, Athleta, and they had a number of brands in there. And I worked for Sephora for a number of years as well. And then Bed Bath & Beyond, and now I'm here at Dollar Tree. So I've been fortunate to work for some great companies. And, you know, it all started when I was at Sephora in 2014. And I had my role as a head of HR for a large supply chain organization. I support the chief supply chain leader, which is the person that oversees the flow of goods, essentially, from sourcing all the way through to stores, right? So it's a huge responsibility. So I'm always fascinated with that type of work. And one day, the leader there at Sephora approached me and said, "Hey, have you ever thought about hiring people with disabilities?" And I thought, you know, no, I'm not. And I asked, where'd that come from? Like, why are we talking about this? Because it's not typically something somebody asks you, frankly, in the world. So in today, so. But I said I would need to see what this is. You know, where did you hear about this? And he said, "Well, I was at a conference and I heard a man named Randy Lewis speak, and we should consider this." And look, I'm a person who I love to solve problems. Supply chain is a cost center. We always try to do things more efficiently. But at the same time, you have these buildings are huge. If you look at, you know, some of these buildings, like here at Dollar Tree, I mean, they're 1.5 million square feet. To put that in context, that's wow. Like putting 31 football fields on top of a building, right? That's how big wild. They are. So they're cities, right? So it's not just moving boxes. You have communities within these four walls. So I went to see the building at Walgreens as a part of this. I brought a colleague with me who has a son with autism because I don't have a connection to disability. And so I wanted him to help me understand what I was looking at here and if this could be done. And I came back and I was totally floored by what I saw. And I'm one of those people that likes to, when I see something, I like to make it better. And when I saw something like that, I'm like, how are we going to make that better? Because this is it. This is really cool. They had like 400 or 500 people in that Connecticut building there at Walgreens out of 800 with a disability. And wow. They didn't really talk about disability in that workplace. So it was just amazing to see.
That's incredible. Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, what's so impressive about that is like, well, first off, Randy Lewis is a legend. Yeah. I mean, really, like when we start talking to people, we've been doing this show now for a couple of months, and it's amazing that the impact, what a legend that guy is. So you meet him and he starts talking to you about this. He immediately impacts and touches your life. And then you go and you take this message and you start integrating these principles into your work and spreading this into these other companies. Amazing.
Yeah, we're piloting it here too now, which is kind of fun. It's great to work for a great organization here. Dollar Tree is very open to this. They want me to try it. They want us to try it, my team and I. And how do you say no to it, right? When you see it in person like that. And that's, you know, there's ways to do it. I've found success with it. And it's just, I love to touch people's lives like that.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what I'd love to set you up, Tom, and why we want to have you on this show. I think first, just to let our audience know, you know, we talk about Randy in our last conference that you're his predecessor. So, you know, this is why I'm just really excited to have Tom on, because he's taken the Randy method and, like you said, made it better. But like when he talked at the Anderson conference, he talked about how he gets the companies that he goes and works for to do this. So, Tom, I'd love for you to get a little bit more in detail, because I feel like our industry and listening to what you accomplished at Sephora and Dollar Tree, I think that is one of those things that I feel is a big important piece, because I would not, and when I'm thinking of all the retailers, I would not have thought Dollar Tree, but I think it's the best thing for them because their cost is important. Yeah. So I would love to hear, how did you, when you go from Sephora, Bed Bath, or even Dollar Tree, how do you get people to buy into what you're trying to bring to the table with people with disabilities?
I think one of the most important things to talk about when I talk to a supply chain leader is cost, right? These individuals manage a very costly part of the organization, right? To build any distribution center in the industry is anywhere from $250 to $500 million, right? So,
wow.
And that's just building it. And that's just to so, and then obviously you have all these people working in there, and we're not a sales part of the organization. So when I go to the business leader, I always tell them, we can do this, but I will do it for you in a cost neutral basis. And of course their ears perk. Because the first thing you think of, if you're gonna hire someone with a disability, is extra time, accommodations, right. Are they right. Really gonna come to work? All the things that are totally false, and we've done studies on this, that are totally false. And in fact, it's the exact opposite if you give them the right training and time. So that's the first thing I do is I commit to the business that it will be cost neutral. And we work with various parts of the, you know, with the states and different agencies to provide us resources as an organization. And so secondly, most organizations, if not all big companies, have a set of values. And I always present on the start of the presentation with what our values are. So if you look at Sephora as an example, you know, their purpose is inspiring fearlessness. Their values are around culture of belonging. If you ever go into one of their stores, they have a really cool saying behind their register. It's called their manifesto, what it means to belong. And so when you walk into their stores, they want you to feel like you belong. And so with specific to Sephora, I leaned into that. And I said, this is something that I think we can stand for that's very bold. And I think it's something we can set the bar here when it comes to how we hire people with disabilities and how we hire anybody for that matter. Because if you see that, you're going to feel very welcome. And those are the two big things that I do. And I think it's also really, it's really important to make sure that I give the leaders time to think about this. I give them, different examples. I know for here, I did this here and I did this at Bed Bath & Beyond. You also have to get the local champion on board. So for example, we do an analysis of which facility will be the best. So I look at what is their engagement scores for their surveys that they take, what's the leadership like? And the most important thing to me is I want them to have the experience that I had when I went to Walgreens. I think that is absolutely critical to be able to see what good looks like. So if I'm going to tell you, Evan, I'm going to put a bunch of people in your operation, you know, a third of them will have a disability, you don't know what that looks like or what to expect.
Right.
So just recently with Dollar Tree, we sent the team out in Texas where we're piloting this. We sent them to the Las Vegas building for Sephora. And that building has over 100 people with disabilities in it. And when they came back, I was expecting them to say things like, I saw this disability, I saw that disability. No, all of them came back and said they saw culture. They saw the culture change, which is, that's, I didn't 100%. Even really think that was the first thing they were going to say. So
yeah.
Both of the things I do, from a, I guess if you were to ask what my recipe is, I think that's one of the most important things you can do.
Now, Tom, you're also forgetting the turnover thing. I thought that was one of the things when you took that away. You talked about turnover, and I use that a lot in my speech because Jen Thompson has talked about it. And a lot of people, I feel, even we've seen it at our place, we just don't have high turnover. So do you have any like things that you see around that? Or
yes, we partnered with Anderson University, and they studied the program at Sephora, and they are going to help us out here. And they look at culture. So that's one part. And they're going to look at performance as well. But we also track the performance at Sephora. We looked at number of metrics. We looked at turnover. We looked at productivity. We looked at absentee rates. We looked at safety. So to address your question, Isaac, you know, most buildings in this industry will experience anywhere from, you know, 50 to 150% turnover. I mean, go to Amazon. Wow. They struggle just because they're so large, right? In that building in Las Vegas for Sephora, it's less than 10%, which is really unbelievable when you think about it. That's how many people that you don't have to hire because people are coming to work every day. It's just unheard of. And those are the things that business leaders hear.
If Mark Cuban's watching this right now, right? Mark Cuban has, you know, tons of companies, all these businesses. And, you know, do you think that this has been brought to his attention before? Do you think that somebody's gone to somebody like Mark Cuban and said, because, you know, these guys on Shark Tank and all these different shows, you know, you see them and you hear them talk about, you know, the bottom line and how to figure out ways to save money here and there. Has anybody ever gone to a guy like the business leaders like them and said, hey, man, increasing the amount of people with disabilities is a real way to improve culture, is a way to help your bottom line, is a way like... It's not only better for your business, but it's better for your culture, and it's a way to help people and make the world a better place. All the things that you guys all preach on television and you guys all say publicly, you can actually do it, and it's not that hard.
Yeah, you're throwing a big name at me there, Mark Cuban. I don't know. That's a very good question. I would venture to say no.
You haven't called him on a cell yet?
I haven't. I have not. No.
What I would say is like it's interesting. Tom, everything you're saying, all my experience, Isaac's experience, some of the other business leaders that we've spoken with, I haven't heard one person ever say yet, yeah, it didn't work, or it's not a good idea, or culture, you know, suffered because of it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. It literally is a matter of pushing this out and getting more people who have a bigger platform to tell this story to get on board with it.
I agree. And, you know, I'll tell you, that's why when I was at Sephora, I was blessed with some resources there. I stumbled across, to be honest with you. And look, I was very impressed with what I saw at Walgreens. But then I got back and I tried to research it and I didn't find much, right? So there's a couple of videos that were out there. But when I came back, we had our own production on staff and in the building, and we had a Hollywood producer. He was amazing. He's still there. And I thought, this guy can help me like get this message out. And not only that, Sephora has an enormous social media presence. Yeah. And that's why if you ever Google Sephora and disabilities, you're going to find a lot of cool emotional videos. It was kind of funny. We'd actually engage them to help us tell stories about, I would say, can you send a film crew into one of our individuals' homes? Because I just learned that we'll call him Johnny in one of our buildings just got a job. Or now that he's the job, he's come out of his shell more. He's more social. He's bought a car and now he has an apartment. Can we send a film crew in? And they did. And they came back and I was just in tears. I was just like, wow. And that's what's so cool about this for me is like the impact you have on people's lives that you don't really think about. That gentleman's entire ethosphere changed. He no longer has someone to take care of him. He now doesn't need a ride. His family can now trust that he's going to take care of himself, that a job gave him this opportunity and this level of confidence that nothing else could provide for him. So it's very emotional for me sometimes to talk about this in public because you do feel like you touch people's lives.
Well, Tom, you're so passionate. Wait. I got a great question for Tom because I love this passion. And what I always find, and we talked about at Anderson University's conference, that there's more people that are not connected with disabilities doing this work. what's that feeling for you? What's that purpose that's driving you? Because we're all connected personally. What is that fire for you? Can you expand on? You said the impact, but why are you waking up, making this part of your career?
It's funny you asked me that because knowing I was coming on here and the title of your show, I was thinking, I didn't really think I had a purpose kind of wandering through life until I started this work. And I think it's because I think it's a blessing to be able to say, as a part of my job, I get to change people's lives like that. You know, my team and I, it's not just me, it's a team thing. And, you know, I'll never forget at that Anderson conference I was at, there was a gentleman and his wife. They ran a coffee shop outside Atlanta. And it was 30 people that worked in that coffee shop, that all of them had a disability. And at the very end, he stood up and he said, "Hey, I just want to understand from all of you, how many of you have a child or a close connection with someone with a disability?" And only a small handful of people stood up. And he was just overcome with emotion. And I was like floored by that. And he said, "Thank you." He said, "If I asked that question 5 or 10 years ago, this whole room would have stood up." And he said, "That tells me this movement is grabbing." And that was very, very touching to hear. And so when I hear things like that, I guess it does provide me a sense of purpose to not only do good for business, you know, it's because this is a good business decision. It's not a charity at all.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity to get people who are left out of the workforce. And I think we have to change that mindset.
I think the bonus is that it's great for business, but you're changing people's lives. Do you know what I mean? Like the bonus is it's great for business. It's fantastic that that's the result.
Exactly right.
Tom, is there one particular person who stands out, you know, a good story that you can tell about a person with a disability who came in, you know, that you can kind of tell for the audience here?
Yeah, there's a lot. This is the fun part, right? That I love these parts of my job because, but you also, the business wants to hear, tell me about how it's improving my business too, right?
Sure.
And of course we have, actually this one, this is example I have is just that actually. We had an individual in my past life that she was a temp in the building, temporary. So that means not a Sephora employee. And the temp agency came to the HR department and said, "Hey, we are going to, this person's last day will be today." Well, why is that? Well, she's actually not performing. She's one of the least performing people in the building. And so the manager knew enough to come over to the HR department and say it and said, "Hey, I got someone on my team here. I understand that she's going to be cut. I think she might be a good candidate for the program." When I say program, we had a training program that we put in place. It was 9 weeks where people would just get a little extra time to learn their job functions. And so she talked it over with her family and they agreed, yeah, they'll go through the program. And then she was hired full time. So she wasn't a temp anymore. And after just a few short weeks or months, guess who the number one person performing person was in that whole facility?
Yeah.
It was her.
Yeah.
I mean, if that doesn't tell you, you know, if not only just, you don't even have to have a disability, just the opportunity to get a second chance sometimes.
That's right.
Right. But that just shows you that the program we had in place was working. It was successful. And the program we used, by the way, was a complete ripoff from Walgreens. And that's the other thing I love about this is companies like Walgreens and Sephora, they welcome companies in to learn. And that's what I want to do here as well.
That's the whole point of the show. That's what we do with Clean Logic. It's to share this so that it could get replicated and replicated and replicated.
Right.
So another tactic I remember Tommy even brought up, I mean, I probably took a lot of notes. I probably know your speech better than you now because I use it in my public speaking. But I also thought one of your tactics I thought was really cool was you actually brought the Randy Lewis book into your team. Can you talk a little bit about why that was important? Because you had talked about that was impactful in getting the team to read the book. So
yeah.
Anything around there?
Yeah. His book, No Greatness Without Goodness. Which I love the quote he has in there. It says, "If you have power, why not use it for good?" Right. And I just love that. That I think there's so much to be said about that. But yeah, I do. When we roll this out to a building, we order every leader in that building a book, and they read it. And the reason I think it's important to read for them If you're a supply chain leader, whether you're a frontline supervisor, an operations manager, whatever it is, it's a book written in the language of supply chain, right? And there's not a lot out there from a supply chain leader. And when it's you interweave it with hiring people with disabilities into your workplace, it's interesting, more interesting to them, right? And I think that's why that book is read quite a bit when we push it out to the groups that put this program in.
It's amazing. I mean, I guess my next question is, if somebody's starting a business, like I know we're talking about the big businesses, but let's talk small businesses, and someone is, you know, trying to gear up and launch a small business, what's your advice to them if they are considering hiring people with disabilities on a smaller scale?
I think the first thing you got to do is look at the people that work for you in leadership positions. That's the first thing you want to do, is are they open to it? One of the reasons why, when you have a greenfield startup of any business, if you say we're going to do this and we're going to hire people with disabilities as an example, especially with a large scale, when we hire a large management team of 50 plus leaders in one of these buildings, if you go there and start that, what you're going to get is a lot of leaders that are parents of people with disabilities or aunts, uncles, and they will apply to work for you because they want to be a part of that. And guess what? They come with those skills to work with these individuals. So that's one thing. But when you talk about small business, I think you could use a lot of those, whether small or big, it's kind of the same answer, I guess. But for a small business, I think you want to look at your leadership team. I think you have to look at the state in which you're operating in. For us, it was important to work with the state because we relied on them to help us with providing a talent source or talent pool for us. They're the ones hooked in to individuals with disabilities. And there's a little bit of teaching that goes on between the state and the employer. They're not familiar with how we do things sometimes. We're not familiar with how they do things. So you got to get in and learn. And you got to really, my opinion is, work with leaders like myself or Isaac and Mike, who also do this in their business, and see how they do it, and just network with the group of people that are doing this and figuring it out, because we don't have all the answers.
Yeah,
Today I don't. Right, you got to go in with eyes wide open, and I think that there's a sense of patience as well.
Well, okay. So on that note, let me ask another question from the other side of it. If you are talking to the parents of a child with disabilities, who might be a little nervous or anxious about like sending their child out and encouraging their child to go out into the workforce. Let's say their kid is 15 years old, 16 years old, and they're starting to kind of talk about, okay, little Johnny is, you know, getting to the point where we're, you know, high school's coming to an end and we got to start thinking and considering about what comes after high school. What would your advice be to the parents, to the family, about the conversations they should be having about getting ready for that next phase of life in terms of employment and stuff like that? What's your advice to them?
First off, in high school, it's called aging out at 22. It doesn't mean you have to stay in high school until you're 22. But I think one of the things you have to do if you're a parent is you want to engage with the state. From the employer side, this may not be the best suggestion, but from what I understand, again, these are all just avenues, right? There are multiple avenues to do. States offer resources for individuals with disabilities, as I'm sure you, Evan and Mike, know, as your parents or dads of daughters with disabilities. So you're probably very familiar with that already. And they'll hook you in. And I think hook you into employers in the area, right? But I also think that it's important to look at agencies too in the areas. So like we partner with, when I was at Sephora, we'd had, depending on where the building was, whether it's Easter Seals or the state of Mississippi or whatever it was, those organizations they specialize in finding folks with disabilities. I also don't think it's a bad idea. I mean, just hop it on the computer and seeing which companies are disability friendly, because that is a thing. I know a lot of people may not think it is, but I think there's a lot to be said for just kind of doing your own homework and finding out which companies are not only welcoming of people with disabilities, but are good at it.
I mean, this is a model champion right here. So tell us, Tom.
He knows.
Because I think that's what we're trying to get more model citizens like Tom, Randy, Jen, what we're doing. What are some of the things that leaders could be doing to prepare to be champions and really, you know, because I'm getting a lot of people interested, talking to the industry about it, especially since we launched the seal, a lot of curiosity. But what are some of your things that you feel as people are thinking about it, sitting on the fence, what are some of your advice to just jumping in and being a champion? Because you got a lot of good things and you have no personal connection. So yeah, you got a bug somewhere.
You know, I think my, first of all, when I first heard, I sat on this for a little while. I'll never forget this moment because 6 months went by and I'm like, I was afraid if I did this, it would fail. I mean, I really did. And
understandable.
Yeah.
It's here is the number one reason. Yeah, understandable. Higher.
I don't want to put someone in a building where it's unsafe or, you know, disappoint a family or whatever, you know. And so I remember talking to Randy. He called and checked on me, right? Hey, have you started this yet? And I said, or actually, we were well on our way, is what it was. And he said, have you announced this to the company yet? And I said, we haven't. And I said, he asked me, he said, why not? I said, I'm afraid it's going to fail. I actually talked to our head of supply chain. Both of us agree, like, we're a little bit afraid of that. And he said, Tom, if you don't tell the whole company won't be behind you. Very interesting tip. Very interesting tip. And so guess what? The store conference was coming around. I said, we could do the same thing they did at Walgreens, Mike. What do you say? And he did it. He got up there and he announced that we were going to do this. He said, we're going to build a brand new facility in Mississippi and we're going to hire hundreds of people with disabilities. Just so you know, when Sephora has store conferences, they're a big deal. People like Beyonce show up, you know, these celebrities, right? And this presentation followed that. It was not far behind in any way. It got a larger standing ovation than she got.
Wow.
That's how much companies care about this stuff. So if you're if this employees love this stuff, this is important to them. And if you're a leader, talk about winning with your team, because they're all going to get behind you. And so I think, you know, leaders who are considering doing this, what I would say is it's okay to think about it for a little bit. Educate yourself, talk to people who have done it. And then build your own confidence when you're ready to go. And then these people that have done this before can, it's not just me. There's lots of other people, but we can get you help.
The one thing I'd like to add to that is I feel like when you go out there and you finally get to the point where we're going to announce this to the company, I think it's a big move. It's a brave move. Most people won't do that, but most people, like when somebody else does it, they're going to get behind it 100%, right? And I think that was Randy's experience. I think that sounds like your experience, because in order to make this as successful as it can be, yes, you need a champion, but you still need the support of the entire company. And you know right then and there in that moment, do you have it? And the standing ovation that you got told you so.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Hey, all I got to say is I'm putting it out there right now. Tom and I have been talking about it. We're putting the Conference of Champions out there for inspiration. I know we can still got to get some things, but I also didn't put a whole lot of planning when we said we're going to increase employment by 10%. So it's important. We want to share this knowledge. We want to bring this people, because how many people are sitting on the fence? This is growing. We're being forced in the American situation with businesses. We're seeing it's harder to hire people. Mm-hmm. You know, there's less people in the talent pool. So this is a solution we're bringing to the table. And I think the Conference of Champions is going to be something I think we can solve. So yeah, Tom, you're signing up.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, the end of the day, the numbers don't lie, man. It's like you can try and spin things, but the numbers don't lie. The numbers are there and they speak. They're loud. And this is a good thing. And I feel like the point that Tom was making, like, you want to get behind things that like are good. This is a good thing. Like, you're helping families, you're helping people, and you're helping businesses thrive. Like, all these things, this is a good thing. Tom, in all seriousness, I can't thank you enough for like the good things that you are doing. This is great. And shout out to Dollar Tree for like supporting you. Shout out to all the companies that you're working for that are behind this, and all the companies that are behind initiatives like this. Like, this is great. And I'm telling you, and all the companies, people that are working for companies that are supporting initiatives like this, I'm telling you, people will support your companies when you are doing the right thing like this. Like, it will give people more of a reason to support your products and your companies, because there is a connection. And I'm telling you, as a consumer, like, I am more inclined to support your products and your company because you're doing the right thing. It gives me an emotional connection to your brand. I'm just telling you, that's just the way it is. I support you. I'm grateful. You make me proud to support your company. And so I'll continue to do that. Thank you, Tom. I can't tell you how much we appreciate you taking the time to share your story with us. It really is an important thing that you're doing. You're doing great work, and we can't thank you enough. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you guys having me.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, Tom.
All right. To all you people watching, like, subscribe, share, comment, engage, leave your thoughts. If you have, you have similar stories, if you have the stories about companies that you want to shout out in the comments, leave them here. Like, share, spread the news. We have a great community, a lot of interaction, a lot of engagement. Spread the word. Tell somebody to tell somebody to tell somebody. We appreciate you. We will see you next time on Driven by Purpose.